Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester, hopefully for 32 minutes today. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
It's rolling great. Yesterday, you got a call. I had to take care of the last few minutes by myself, whispering, so I don't know if you know it was someone in the office. I couldn't tell, but hopefully you won't have any work to do today.
Yeah, I haven't listened to yesterday's yet as we're recording this episode. So I don't know what happened, but I came back from my call and I said, all right, do you want to continue? And you said, no, that's okay. I finished with that.
I just didn't know when the bomb was coming. So you're going to have bomb me. We got a complaint from a listener named Rob. Rob in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. He said that he threw his headphones in disgust because he didn't know the bomb was coming and it was so loud in his earbuds that he was not amused by the bomb. So maybe we have to...
That's how bombs work.
Yeah, we have to lower the
bombs. Bombs are not supposed to be subtle.
But we shouldn't be giving the listeners to our podcast PTSD necessarily. I don't know what the strategy is if we just get
all
everyone
right, so trigger warning. Yes. If you have... bad experiences with explosions in the past. Stop our podcast at the 31:50 mark.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, today, we've tried to learn a lesson from the previous 9 episodes. And rather than stretching out 2 teams that we really don't care a lot about and don't have a lot to say about, we've decided to combine them.
Yeah, we're going to rush through 2 teams. So the first team up today is the 23rd ranked Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Always the most exciting team. Really was so out on Matt Patricia last year.
Yeah.
Usually when you're replacing a coach that sort of lost his fastball, it's so easy to turn things around. Stafford was so much worse last year, and you could blame the offensive coordinator, that I do think this might be a two-and-out situation. I think we're dangerously... Patricia... at any point this season, it starts going off the rails. He's in grave danger. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if that does happen.
But are you blaming him from Stafford going from, a borderline Pro Bowl type quarterback to a bad quarterback last year?
I mean, the head coach has to take some of the blame. It could be fixable.
Bob Cooter?
Yeah. I mean, if this year Stafford rebounds to being basically the most consistent player in NFL history, or one of them, then fine. But you can't have a guy who's the exact same every year. And then he collapses in your first year. It's got to be on you. And now Patricia's a young coach. He's 44. He may have been promoted too fast. The Patriots did not seem sad to leave him go. I'd be nervous. I mean, they went 6-10 last year. I'd be nervous if I was a Lions fan. But not totally out on him. But I would definitely be at least a little concerned that something is amiss there. You don't hear a lot of reports. There's not a lot of leaks Patricia's a dummy and all these bad things are happening. But I don't know. You'd have to assume Stafford bounces back to being his normal, league average-ish self. It's not like he's old. He's got a lot of miles.
Well, he's always been above league average. I mean, last year in the preseason, you ranked him number 7.
Yeah, and I mean, now he's not going to be, he'd be lucky to be in the teens for people, I think.
Yeah, and you say he's not old, but he's on the wrong side of 30 now.
Well, 31 is young for a quarterback. I mean, he's 4 years older than a lot of the people he's got the same amount of miles as.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is his first 2 years in the league, he had a couple of injuries. And so he sort of had a reputation as a guy who, would get injured a lot. But the reality is that he has not missed a game since then. He started all 16 games since his 3rd year in the league. Mm-hmm. And the consequence of that is that because he's played in this era of quarterbacks through age 30, all time, NFL history, can I give you Matthew Stafford's ranks?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Touchdowns, 3rd all time. Wow. Do you want to guess the top 2?
It's crazy because he's hit 30 twice. He's not even, he's not putting up the same numbers as the other guys. Top 2.
Well, I'm not starting with the biggest bomb, which is that he's number 1 all time in passing yards.
All right, so touchdowns through 30, I think Rodgers is 1. And
yeah, those are terrible. Aaron Rodgers didn't even play for his first few years.
You're right. Through 30.
I thought this was much more obvious.
Marino.
Yeah, he's 2nd.
And then first would be Favre also doesn't play his first year.
Yeah, Favre is 4th.
Yeah.
But number 1 is the most obvious play. Who was number 1?
Manning. Yeah, okay, thank you.
But Matthew Stafford, 3rd all-time in touchdowns through age 30. 1st all-time in passing yards through age 30.
Mm-hmm. That's
right?
crazy.
Which, again, is just a fun... Yeah, he's 1st all-time in completions, 1st all-time in yards.
Him sort of I mean, in theory, he could play another 8-9 years easily, you know, compared to his peers.
Well, so he's going to be, you know, Eli Manning, because he has played every single game, which has been, you know, his biggest strength, mm-hmm. and he's played throughout this era. So he's top 10, and he's going to finish top 5 all time in yards and touchdowns and all those stats. But a guy like Matthew Stafford is going to finish, you know, also top 5 in all of those. Now, he obviously doesn't have those two rings that Eli
Can
has.
Can we agree he has to win a playoff game before he makes the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. Well, but there are, you know, Sonny Jurgensen famously never did so.
Yeah, but there weren't 6 teams a year back then.
Yeah, but there were 4, but there weren't 32 teams in the league. The percentage of teams making the playoffs was about the same.
Oh, I will vomit if Matt Stafford ever makes the Hall of Fame. And I like him. I don't hate Matt Stafford, but that would be disgusting.
No, I don't think he ever will make the Hall of Fame. But, you know,
people
will
forget, and he's going to have
better than Eli Manning, right? I mean, he's had, you know,
I would put Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame before I put Matt Stafford in the Hall of Fame.
Well, so would I right now, but if Stafford puts another decade up, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if he does this 10 more times, like, at least you could say, well, he's the most consistent player in, like, sports history. He's, like, always
pretty
good.
If you're going to end up with 60,000 yards and 400 touchdowns, it's hard to keep a guy out. Now, I'm not sure that he will, because my whole argument here was that I think that we just take for granted that guys can play until they're 40, but that's not always the case.
It's not always the case, but who has collapsed? What non-running QB has collapsed early in their 30s?
Well, are you going to count like Donovan McNabb as a running QB?
Yes. He took a lot of hits early in his career. Yes, I'm going to count.
Okay. Because he was like done at age 33.
Yeah,
or
no.
Like
a non-running QB, you know, a guy who never misses games, he's just going to be done. Just like he's still healthy, but he doesn't have it anymore. That guy does not exist in the last 15 years in the NFL.
Yeah, because most of the guys who were done, it was injury related, right? Like Tony Romo comes to mind.
Yeah. I mean, Vic is done early, but he has a very
Steve McNair, but he was a running quarterback.
Yeah, he has a weird career. Yeah, I mean, listen, like, it's possible Rodgers getting worse at 35, but at 31, nobody's getting worse.
And how old was Matt Hasselbeck? Because Matt Hasselbeck was sort of a similar type guy. He was above average for a while.
Old. But also, Hasselbeck, old? I think, was never as consistently good as...
Oh, no, I disagree. Matt Hasselbeck, when Seattle was going to the Super Bowl, Matt Hasselbeck was a very good quarterback.
I mean, it was an era where there were fewer good quarterbacks, obviously.
Yeah,
but
let me see. How old was he his last year? He hung around the NFL till he was 40.
Yeah, no, but when, when was he
but
relevant?
But hold on, his last good season was age 32.
Yes and no. His last good season was 32, but... It was also his best season. You're like comparing. You know what I mean. He was not as good for as many years as Stafford. He was still a competent starter at 36 in Tennessee.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
He had 18 touchdowns and 14.
Yeah, but that's no difference than some of his good years. I mean, he had 3 or 4 good years. That's not one of his worst years.
Yeah, I'm
that's
just
like his fifth
at,
best season. You're crazy. Like he just wasn't that good.
I'm looking. Let's see. Culpepper was obviously Pennington was an injured.
Oh, so
guy,
Culpepper right? is probably the closest.
Was a running guy. No, but he was a running guy, obviously. But he really fell off.
Did fall off a cliff though.
Yeah.
Also a unique body type. Now, if you tell me,
how old was Jay Cutler? By the way,
was Jay Cutler ever good?
He was good in Denver. David Garrard, he was pretty good in Jacksonville.
Now you're getting silly. By the way, if you Google Jay Cutler, the bodybuilder Jay Cutler comes up before the quarterback on Wikipedia.
That's kind of crazy.
That's crazy. That's got to be some weird SEO stuff. If you're an SEO person listening, someone has to have done that. You have to have like paid someone to come up before.
Now, we're a famously anti-SEO podcast. We go out of our way. These previews don't even say the team names.
Yes, we hate SEO. We don't want anyone to find
this. Yeah, we do not want anyone to find this by mistake.
There's so many numbers in our titles. 32 fans in 32
days. I mentioned yesterday,
days.
By the way, I mentioned yesterday on the podcast that I'd had that family reunion over the weekend. Mm-hmm. So I had previously seen a couple, you know, the Aunt Phyllis's, as you like to call them, in July, when we came for the 32 fans and Renap live recordings in Minneapolis. Uh-huh. And so a few people were asking, oh, what were you in Minneapolis for?
Yeah.
I didn't really want to get into it.
You just said I'm a swinger, I'm in a thruple, the third parties, and like something much less embarrassing.
Yeah. Wait, but I did that, but I came without my wife.
Yeah, I'm in a fourple.
Oh, I'm the third in a thruple with
somebody
else.
Like on the side. And I see. Anything, okay. Yeah. You guys know what a podcast is?
Yeah.
There's this wheel.
But Well, no, but that was the embarrassing part, because then I said, oh, it was a podcast. And what's the name of it? I didn't want to give the name. And then my cousin knew the name, and she started telling everybody. And then she, like, sent it on a group text. I'm like, please don't do this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't need.
Shout out to Chester's third cousins who are listening.
As I said that, I suddenly realized. But the odds are pretty low.
I am famously sort of anti-cousin. Not that I dislike any of my cousins at all, but I think, like, you have to earn it with cousins. I do think it's like, your, like, five best friends should be more important than your cousins. Unless, like, your cousin happens to be one of your best friends. Like, yeah, there's, like, it can't be a default that you have to, like, care. How about this? If you had a conflict, people were getting married the same day, a first cousin of yours or your best friend, pretend you had, like, a best friend, you automatically have to go to that best friend's wedding. Unless, again, the cousin is a super close cousin. Like, but everyone will go to the cousin's wedding over their friend's wedding.
Well, you mean literally best friend, like friend number one?
Friend number one, or like in your...
If you're the best man or the
maid. Or how about your a groomsman? So what if it's not a best friend, but you're a top six, you know?
Yeah, if you're in the wedding party.
Yeah, in the wedding
you're
party.
Not in the cousin's wedding party, you're going to the...
No, you should, but I feel like society says that you're stuck on your cousin's wedding.
I don't know about that. It would have to be like a very close...
I had a friend who had that conflict, and I understood it was like... mitigating circumstances, but it was a girl cousin. It wasn't like a cousin they were super close to.
A girl cousin, so not a real
I'm saying one. But it wasn't like it wasn't, he wasn't super I mean the families were close, and I said, what if I make you the how do you translate Masada Kedushin? The officiant of my wedding, then you're stuck. And so he said yes, but I also couldn't make him I couldn't make him the rabbi, like a non-believing person. Like, people would have gone insane. It was a good strategy by me. You got to one up the person. You got to offer them a better deal than so they didn't end up coming. But anyway, this is an anti-cousin podcast. All right, let me give you the core eight for the Detroit Lions. Okay, I know you're very excited about this. You missed the last couple because you were talking to... can I give you the Broncos? I said it yesterday, but it was so bad.
No.
It was so bad, the Broncos. Okay. It was funny.
No, I don't need to hear it.
Right, so the Lions 8 is Matthew Stafford. And then, this is a tricky order. I'd say Taylor Decker, like an above-average left tackle, hard to find. Kerryon Johnson, rookie tight end TJ Hockenson, center Frank Ragnow. So I actually asked, I was unsure who to... put in here. So for the Lions and the other team we're discussing today, I posed it to the team Reddit, and I had the listeners sort of sort it out for me. And I did not include their center Frank Ragnow, and everyone said you have to, so he must be good. Kenny Golladay, receiver at 6, that's not ideal because he's not really an elite receiver. Trey Flowers, the veteran, a pass rusher, and then Darius Slay, more of a nickelback. So it's not a great list for the Lions. What do you think about that? Stafford, Decker, Johnson, Hockenson, Ragnow, Golladay, Flowers, and Slay. They have a lot of, like, Adoree Jackson. They have a lot of really solid defenders who didn't make it. I think the Lions 9 through 16 is better than almost any other teams in the league, but what do you think of that as a core? Yeah, the Lions 9 through 16 is really good. They have a lot of, like, above-average defenders.
Well, then why do you have this team ranked all the way down to 24?
Well, I don't have...
Or 23.
This is... first of all, I could have ranked them 1 for all you know. This is the cumulative rankings. But I probably had them.
Well, where do you?
Well,
have
I just hate Patricia. I think Patricia's an issue, and also that.
So he's so bad that he's trumping all their great players.
I mean, I don't think they have great players. I'm just saying that they have a lot of above average players, more than almost any other team in the bottom in the bottom half of the league. Not we're not comparing them to like the Rams and the Chargers.
Because you said they had one of the best 9 and 16.
Listen, I've only done this for like I haven't done the top 10 yet. It's hard to gauge, but it's better than all the other teams we've talked about.
Well, by definition, every day we're talking about a team that's better than every other team we've talked about.
No, but I'm saying the core is better. However, they're like 2, 3, 4 is worse, is what I'm saying. Their 1 through 8 is near the bottom. They just have a lot of interchangeable players. They have like more B-plus guys than almost anybody, but they don't really have a single superstar on the whole team.
Yeah.
I mean, who is the best player? Like, if you're 2 through 53, like we like to say, who's the best player in this team? Kerryon Johnson, that's not great. Is it a center that's not the best center in the NFL? That's bad. Taylor Decker, a left tackle that's maybe a top 10 left tackle. So they're not top heavy at all. They're all whatever the opposite of stars and scrubs is. That's what they are. It's like, what if you made the whole starting lineup out of guys who are like slightly above average? You know, Marvin Jones is an above average player. Kenny Galladay is an above-average player, but these are not elite players. No, they are. Marvin Jones is definitely an above-average player.
Marvin Jones, is he 30 yet?
Yeah. I mean, so for 1 year I'm talking about. No, in terms of this exercise, he gets hurt because he's old. But for this year, I think Galladay and Jones, they're not going to lose with a...
No, that's a solid receiving tandem.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I think they sold
this team just screams 7-9 to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're an 8-8 team, but maybe Patricia messes stuff up.
Should we play the schedule game?
Yeah, let's play the schedule game for the Lions.
You want to do it? Or you want me to do it?
I think it's my turn to give it to you. But while I pull up their schedule, can you get
give it to me? Baby.
Yeah, can you get me their wins total? The Lions win total for this year, please.
You gotta ask me these things before we're on.
We don't do anything before. There is no pre-production. Not 1 second of pre-production.
Well, except for your Power 8s or whatever the hell you're doing.
Yeah, I'm doing work. Oh, you're doing nothing. Yeah. I know. I got a whole spreadsheet and stuff.
Yeah.
You're
the Detroit Lions this year, their over-under is... What sequence is this in? It's 6.5.
I mean, I don't love the over because I don't love
and
the
team. And you
know
what? And the VIG is on the under.
Yeah, so they're skewing towards 6. All right, so let's see what we could do. Let's look at the schedule and see maybe... you know, is it a schedule based? You know, are they being pushed down from 7.5 to 6.5 based on schedule, or it's because people think Stafford's getting worse? All right, week one, a winnable game in Arizona. What do you think?
Well, last year, we saw them play Sam Darnold in week one, and Sam Darnold destroyed them.
Well, Darnold didn't play well; they destroyed themselves.
Yeah, but they still won by 31 points. So Kyler Murray, if he's going to be anything, I think he's got to come out and show it in week one. So I'm going to say Arizona.
It's a really interesting game, honestly.
By the way, the Lions, the only team in the NFC North that when they go to Arizona, they don't have a majority. It's not a home game for them in terms of the fans.
It might be, but it's less than the Packers, Bears,
people
and
in
Vikings.
Detroit just, they care much more about college football than they do about the NFL. And part of that is because the Lions have been around.
I'm
going
to check that
years.
Crowd in a few Sundays, see if it's majority Lions fans or not. I mean, you'd like to think that if the Cardinals have like a prayer of ever having a fan base, they would come
out.
The
other issue is, though, that like so when Minnesotans, for example, go, they winter in Arizona, so there's already a lot of them down there. But Michiganders are East Coast,
so they go to
Florida.
They winter in Florida. That's a good point. Okay. So you just wanted to say that because you like the word Michiganders. At Arizona, who is winning this game? Yeah, if they can't fill the building for Kyler Murray, then they just should lose their team.
No, I said I'm giving that to the Cardinals.
The Cardinals to Toronto.
That would not be bad.
Yeah, week two, hosting the Chargers.
I mean, we haven't got to the Chargers yet. I think that the Chargers are a little bit overhyped right now.
Yeah, but are they lose to the Lions overhyped?
Do I see the Lions starting 0-2? Not really. I think that they're 43% chance to win each of these first two games. So to lose both of them is only like a 20% chance. But here where it's binary, I'm going to say another loss. 0-2.
Okay. At Philly.
Oh, it's getting worse. I just looked at the schedule.
The first six games after the games 2-6 are just ridiculous.
All right. 0-3.
Okay. Hosting the Chiefs.
0-4.
Now, we have one of these every year. A bye week at week 5 at 0-4. If they're 0-4, and I don't think they're going to be 0-4. Like you said, it's binary, and they certainly have a chance.
Yeah, I
think
they
got to
win there somewhere. But
if they're 0-4, I think Patricia's in a lot of hot water here.
Yeah.
And that's not a scorching hot take, but
Monday
it's not
Night
impossible
Football
gets fired.
In Green Bay, 0-5.
Wow. Now, can they at least save some face and ruin your Vikings Halloween or Halloween season by beating them?
No, they are going to lose to the Vikings 0-6, and Patricia gets fired.
Okay, yeah, because if they don't fire him at the break, they definitely fire him at 0-6. I would agree.
Wait, so he gets fired 6 games into his second season?
Yeah. He would, at 4-18 career, that would be bad.
Yeah.
He's not getting another
job. He went 6-10 last year, didn't they?
Yeah. Oh, you're right, 6-10, not 4-12.
Yeah, so he'd be 6-6.
You're right, that's much better.
So they're 0-6.
Now, but the schedule opens up a little bit now.
Yeah. All right. They beat the Giants. They're 1-6.
Okay, at Oakland.
They're going to lose that 1-7.
Now, do you remember and check?
The schedule's not opening.
Do you remember and check who you said was winning that game? Like when we did Oakland?
No,
we didn't. We happen not to have done the schedule for them, but I'm just saying, we may have some double losses or double wins.
All right. So the Lions at 1-6. By the way, they are not an 8-8 team or whatever you and I said. Yeah. So 1-6.
Well, I think
they go to the Bears.
Well, that's, we have our answer. It's not that they have 6.5 win talent; they have 6.5 win schedule.
Well. 6-1, half does the other. The bottom line is that they're
wait. Ready. So you have them beating the Raiders or losing to the Raiders?
No, I have them losing.
So 1-7 at Chicago. They play Chicago twice in
1-8. 1-8.
Well,
now we talked about the Giants starting 4-4 and ending 4-12. Yeah. I think the Lions are going to do a little bit of the reverse.
Well, let's see.
Maybe they fire Patricia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're 1-8. They beat the Cowboys 2-8.
Okay. What are they?
They beat Washington 3-8.
Well, they have a little momentum for Thanksgiving, but it's not going to be such an exciting game. Lions Bears.
Yeah, that's the early. The Lions are always the 12:30 game. I guess they'll lose at 3-9. But you know what? Then they go into Minnesota, and this is where they break the Vikings' hearts. They win in Minnesota, so they're 4-9.
What's the Vikings' record when they win that game?
The Vikings will be 7-4, but in the middle of a collapse or something like that. 4-9. They beat Tampa to go 5-9. They go into Denver and win 6-9, and then they beat Green Bay to finish 7-9.
Yeah, that would be quite a comeback. And you just have them over. Should we pound the over for the Lions at 6.5? And we'll be 1-7. It will be like, we're not sweating.
Yeah,
we're not worried.
Let's wait till they're 1-8. Yeah. Let's wait till they're 1-8, and then pound the over, because then it'll be.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
That is smart.
You heard it here first.
I mean, listen, they could go. Like, they could beat Arizona week one. They could. How many of these games are unwinnable? They're probably not going to win in Philly. They're probably not going to beat the Chargers or the Chiefs. The problem is their three hardest games are weeks 2, 3, and 4. The three hardest games on the whole schedule are 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
That's not great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so.
Yeah. It's a tough
Giants,
schedule.
Raiders, Bucks, and Broncos are all teams that we've talked about already.
Yeah.
That means those are four. And the Redskins. That's five bottom teams. In like an 8 or 9 week stretch. The problem is like you have to.
They got to make it to November.
That's such a wild schedule, honestly.
Yeah.
Not ideal. All right, let's talk about the Tennessee Titans for a second. That's our team number 22. Okay.
Okay. Oh, Tennessee's gonna get bombed.
I said, by the way, I said Adoree Jackson before. I was looking at my lines list. He's on the Titans, but the Titans 1 through 8. Marcus Mariota 1. Just because quarterbacks have to be one. But, you know, who knows what happens after this year with Mariota. Jarrell Casey, what position does he play?
He's a defensive tackle.
Taylor Lewan, a left.
How little do you think I know before?
I mean, we would have had to cancel the podcast if you didn't
Very
know.
Little.
Taylor Lewan, Kevin Byard, Derrick Henry at 5. That's not great if you're paying attention. Jayon Brown, who you probably haven't heard of, at 6. Adoree Jackson at 7. And Corey Davis at 8.
Corey Davis has been, like, for 2 years in a row, people have been talking about him as, like, a fantasy sleeper.
And
put up or shut up.
I agree. Put up or shut up. It's
who else do they have? They have Adam Humphries, I think.
They have Humphries. I think Humphries is going to end up leading them.
Is Tajay Sharpe still there?
Yeah, Tajay Sharpe is still there. Yeah. I think if Davis is your number 8, and, you know.
Is Deion Lewis still on this team? I think
he is, but he is shot. He was bad last year.
Remember, we were all over him on the Patriots that year when he was, like, breaking every tackle.
Yes, but, I mean, whatever. People thought he was, like, oh, he's, like, a young player, but he had been around, like, sort of, like, in the back of
depth
charts.
It's the same thing as Philip Lindsay or Tariq Cohen. Like, those guys that size cannot be touching the ball 200 times a year.
Okay. By the way, if Patricia gets fired, Daryl Bevel, the longtime Seahawks offensive coordinator, and Paul Pasqualoni, like, historically bad college coaches, they're D coordinators. They don't have a lot of muscle behind him if they wanted to fire him.
Who's going to be their left tackle with Taylor Lewan's suspension?
Oh, so going back to the Titans, I'm not sure. They do have a very good offensive line. I'd say it's the strength of the entire team, the Titans' offensive line. It's really strong. I think if Mariota can't do it with this team, he's never going to be able to do it, because we're saying Davis doesn't really do it, but the truth is Davis and Humphries is not a truly atrocious receiving core. Now, Vrabel, you know, had a good year last year, but who knows? These ex-Patriot guys.
Well, did he? Because they were 9-7 before he showed up, and they were 9-7.
That's good.
After
I mean, this is not a great team. If you could get this team 9-7, you're at least a competent coach.
But again, they've been 9-7.
All right, so maybe he's bad.
Maybe
he's bad.
So I'm not saying he's good or bad. I'm just saying they've been, you know, back in like the late 90s, if you remember, the Tennessee Oilers would go 8-8 every single year in like the early years of Steve McNair.
Yeah.
I think they went 8-8 like 3-4 years in a row. Yes, it was also the Fisher era. That's correct.
Yeah, I mean, he always won.
Common
way
to end.
Their backup is Dennis Kelly, who's from the Eagles. The rest of their offensive line, Saffold, people know from the Rams. Ben Jones from the Texans. They rebuilt their line. Kevin Pamphill from the Bucks and Conklin. So really, solid tackle duo. Yeah. I will say, people said when I went on the Titans subreddit when I posted, people said you got to include Jonnu Smith. They're young, sort of a tight end. And some people want them to include Delanie Walker, which means they're dumb because he's too old. You don't include a 35-year-old injured tight end.
I think I might have mentioned this on the podcast last year, but the Tennessee Titans, when a third of the team was for sale last year or a couple years ago, you know, we were representing a possible purchaser. And the Titans, like, deck that they send out to prospective buyers prominently featured Delanie Walker as one of the stars of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And as I remarked at the time, if you're advertising your asset because of Delanie Walker, you're doing it wrong.
I agree. So Walker and Smith is a top five tight end duo in the league. No question, because there aren't a lot of great tight ends. It might be as bad as three. It might be as good as three or four. I mean, I guess in...
You're insane.
Well, I mean, in theory, Kelsey and anybody, Kittle and anybody are better than those.
Yeah, neither one of them is a top 10 tight end, top 15 tight end even. Jonnu Smith maybe one day, and Delanie Walker maybe 5 years ago. He was injured.
No, I don't think he's ever had a bad year when he was healthy. So in theory, if he stays healthy, but he's 30. Delanie Walker. But he's 35.
Yeah, okay, but now he's old. Yeah, exactly.
We said Lewis is shot. They don't really have a backup, so they're relying on Derrick Henry in his fourth season. It is possible Mark Ingram style, like this Alabama guy who like isn't used to being like, because they don't really have bell cows, because every single person on their team is in it. You know, their fourth running back is going to be in the NFL. So you can't really get, you're not going to get 300 carries in college. So maybe it takes them actually, it's sort of the opposite of a lot of other players where it takes them time to get used to being, you're carrying the ball more in the NFL than you are in college, plus there's more games. But it does seem like Henry is maybe going to be I mean, where is he going in fantasy? Would you be interested in having him on your team? Doesn't really catch a lot of passes.
Yeah, so I mean, my personal opinion is I'm not a big fan of those running backs that don't catch passes. Mm-hmm. And then last year, he did nothing until he just had those two insane games, right? I mean, let me go look at his game log last year. Yeah, these are his yards per game. 26, 56, 57, 24, 56, 21, 33, 27, 58, 46, 30, 40. He literally did not have 60 yards in a game. And that's
He looked Trent Richardson-ish, and then he became like the best running back in the NFL.
He did not have 60 yards in a game the entire season. And then on that Thursday night game against the Jaguars, he had 238 yards and four touchdowns. And then the next week, he had 170 yards and two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And so it completely came out of nowhere in December. It probably ruined a bunch of fantasy leagues. So will he be as bad as he was for the first year and 3 months of his career? No. But is he going to be as good as he was for the last 4 weeks? Mm-hmm. No, probably. So, you know, without having looked at any of my charts, I'd say he's probably, what, running back like 17?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so on defense, their first-round pick is not playing this year, I think. Jeffrey Simmons is injured. They knew, I believe, he was injured going in. So that does hurt their defense. The defense is really solid. They signed Cameron Wake from the Dolphins. Cameron Wake, speaking of players on the wrong side of 30 or 35. Cameron Wake is, I think, 38.
Wow.
Yeah, he's old. That Remember, he was me. He wasn't even
born,
in the NFL
he,
for
born 19. He's older than us. Did not
realize
that.
He's much older than us. He's 38. Wake got started very late because he was in the CFL. They have both corners from New England, Logan Ryan and Malcolm Butler. Yeah. Malcolm Butler is no longer good. Logan Ryan's...
Don't they have Adoree Jackson
They have
also?
Adoree Jackson... Kenny Vaccaro, Byard is a really solid tight end group. People don't really know their other linebackers, but Harold Landry's a good player. Jaylen Brown, I mentioned, is in their top eight. Jarrell Casey's a good player. Daquan Jones. They got Brent Urban from the Ravens. They have a lot of quality players. Like I said, they have a lot of average and above average players really almost everywhere.
The bottom line of this team is whether they're going to go 7-9 or whether they're going to go 10-6. Mm-hmm. It's all about
Marcus Mariota.
Yeah,
I agree. It starts and ends with Mariota. I just don't...
Now, we invested heavily in him in our 32 fans team last year. That did
didn't
not go,
go
well.
Great.
Now, his backup, though, Ryan Tannehill, who you once upon a time on this here podcast said was a Super Bowl quarterback.
Yeah.
So do you think... I mean, he has to be an upgrade at backup
quarterback. he is a very good backup quarterback. I think you would agree with that. Yeah. He's exactly who you'd want as your backup quarterback. Guy who's going to come in, not turn the ball over, throw a lot of short, complete
passes.
I
just did my quarterback rankings, which will be appearing on this podcast very shortly. Mm-hmm. And I have him... I have him after 25 starters, so I have him ahead of 7
starters. That's very silly. You may have forgotten some of the guys in the league, but we could talk about that when we get there.
I mean, I'd rather have Sam Darnold than Ryan Tannehill because of the potential future, but right now, if I wanted to win one game, I'd rather have Ryan Tannehill than Sam mm-hmm. Darnold.
That's crazy. For no plays would anybody rather have Tannehill than Darnold. At no point in his career, Tannehill was as good as Darnold's going to be this year.
Oh my God! Oh, as he's going well, I'm.
By the way,
let me see. Darnold
you can always
first.
Tell how good a running back is because it's hard. So much of it is offensive line and scheme based, right? How good a running back is.
Yeah.
But it's so easy to judge two running backs who play for the same team against each other. And Derrick Henry had 4.9 yards a carry last year. A little bit skewed because if you remember, he had that 99 yard carry, I believe, in the 238 game you talked about. But Deion Lewis at 3.3 with a really good with a really good offensive line. That's how you know he is
not great.
Toast and a half.
Corey
Davis went 65-89-891 for four, which are bad number one numbers, but he also got 112 passes. I mean, it's partially Mariota. And then that's it. Taji.
I mean, it's insane. Mariota had 11 touchdown passes on the season. And this is in 2019.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think everything about this team is fine. If it, how about
the Jameis Mariota debate? The end answer is going to be neither.
Yeah, we said this last year. I mean, if you put Andrew Luck on this team, is this a better team than the Colts? I mean, the defense, I think, is better, but the receivers aren't as good. So I don't know. I don't know. Like he's never had receivers. I will
close.
Give him.
No, I'd rather have the Colts defense.
I mean, he played 14 games.
The Colts have two rookie All-Pros on their
team. He played 14 games. He threw 11 touchdowns. That's insanely bad. Now, he only threw eight interceptions, and he completed almost 70% of his passes. Like, he's not completely incompetent, but that's real bad, man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking last year in our quarterback rankings. We both had him at number 17, and he's going
way down. He's going to be below Jameis for me for just the start. But, no, that's not going to happen. All right. Can you give me the Titans win number? We don't have to do the whole schedule for the Titans, but what do you know what their over under for 2019 is? I'm going to guess
their over under is.
I was going to say 7.5. So that's a really high number. Now
it's 8, but the VIG's on the.
Yeah.
On
now,
the
as you said, they've gone 9-7 2 years in a row. So
three years in a row.
So yeah, 8 seems low, and I mean, they seem like an 8-8 team. They're good at some things, bad at the other. They're not incompetent or amazing at anything.
Well, here's the thing. The Jaguars are still not back in their division.
Right.
The Texans probably are above them, and the Colts, if Andrew Luck is healthy, are above them. So
the Colts
it's going to be tough
If Andrew Luck is healthy, the Colts are way above them.
Yeah, but right now, Luck might not even be playing.
This is not a bad division. I know we're used to it, but this is...
There's no
this
terrible
could
team
be the worst
division.
Team in the division, and this team is fine. Like, this team is very annoying to move the ball against.
Kiva, you know what happens when you do two teams in one episode?
What?